The Senate Foreign Relations Committee yesterday approved a measure that allows very limited U.S. military action in Syria. The full Congress will return to Capitol Hill next week, and they're going to take up the measure in what everybody thinks will be a very long and contentious debate. One thing we haven't heard much discussion about is how much a military intervention could cost the American taxpayers. Economist Dean Baker is the founder of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, and he joins me now. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
So if Congress does approve this measure, one of the options is for a limited airstrike. And I'm curious, and I know there's no price tags, but how much does something like that cost?
Well, the main cost with this, and again, this is assuming it's clean. I probably shouldn't use that word. I mean, obviously, you're talking about killing people and this
right.
and that. But in any case, you know, assume that it's a limited airstrike, that's the end of the story, so we don't have any ongoing military involvement after that. Then the main cost is really cost of the missiles, and you're probably talking about somewhere in the low hundreds of millions. That's a lot of money to you and I, but in terms of a $4 trillion federal budget, that wouldn't be that big a deal.
That's not per missile, is it?
No, per missile, you're talking about it's somewhere around $1.5 million. So, you know, assuming, you know, I don't have a good idea as to, you know, how many we're talking about shooting off, but based on past actions, you know, we'd probably be talking low hundreds of millions.
So if the defense budget or overall budget is $4 trillion and we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars, that's one thing. But what if this evolves somehow into a ground invasion?
Then we're clearly in a whole different ball game, and this is very unpredictable. And, you know, one of the things, if we look back, the past experience, the closest precedent we probably have for this is the lead-up to the Iraq War, where, you know, there was very little discussion of what that could end up costing us. And I remember Larry Lindsey, who was the chief economist to President Bush at the time, made a comment that he thought it would run around $100 billion, and the administration got very angry at him. In fact, he was pushed out of his position, supposedly in part because of that, because they didn't want that high a number, $100 billion, being tossed around. Now, you look back, and we'd be very happy if that only cost us $100 billion. I haven't seen the latest numbers, but clearly we're talking around, you know, $800, $900 billion for the war in Iraq at this point, maybe even more.
We're talking with economist Dean Baker, and we've heard a lot about the sort of emotional rationale for and against any kind of military intervention. But I wonder, do members of Congress do the math when they head into the hall to talk?
Well, you would certainly hope it's a consideration. You know, I remember back before the Iraq War, it did not seem to be. I mean, there seemed to be very little interest in any serious discussion of how much this could cost. And, you know, that clearly, I mean, you know, I shouldn't say it'd be the main factor. I mean, you know, we are talking about people's lives. You expect it to be more important.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we are making budget cuts, whether we need to or not, that's another question, but we're cutting a lot of areas of the budget. And if you're just going to talk about spending a lot of money without really giving it any consideration, doesn't sound like a wise move. Also, I should point out some of the economic ramifications won't be direct, that if, and again, I'm not saying this will happen, but if this ends up leading to a larger conflagration that might pull oil off world markets, we could see price of oil skyrocket. People will be paying higher electric bills, higher, more money for gas in their car. That will have a big impact on the economy. Again, not saying that will happen, but that's at least a possibility.
Well, I've heard it threatened, used as a threat by nations that are less than supportive of any kind of action that we might take. So it might not just be that we blockade anything. It may be that countries that oppose what we're doing take their products offline to us, right?
Well, Iran had been an ally of Syria, has been an ally, I should say, of Syria, and it's really possible Iran would respond by cutting back its production, which, you know, would have a big impact. Also, Iran has considerable military capabilities itself, so if Iran wanted to close off the flow of oil coming from the Gulf, it would at least be in a position to make that threat, you know, serious risk. Whether they could do it or not, obviously the U.S. would oppose it, but, you know, that would certainly be a possibility.
You know, it's interesting when we're talking about these numbers a little bit in isolation, but right now President Obama is in Russia trying to sell his military intervention idea to some of his allies, and I'm not sure how he's approaching Vladimir Putin with this as well, but this is ostensibly the G8 summit, an economic gathering. So one would think that you cannot separate out a political action from its economic impact or its cost.
You would think, you would hope. Again, you know, just thinking back to the Iraq War, there seemed to be very little consideration of the economic implications. So one would hope that, you know, they're going into this with the eyes open. I mean, again, I'm not saying it should be first most. You don't want to go to war unless there's a very good reason to go to war. But certainly you would want to take into account what the economic ramifications are likely to be.
You mentioned that we don't have a final tally of the cost of the wars in Iraq or Afghanistan, I'm assuming, as well. But how much debt have we as a nation incurred over the course of the time that we've been fighting those wars?
Well, we've been running budget deficits, you know, through that whole period. So, you know, I don't know if we could say one for one. Maybe we would have... it's a little hard to construct the exact counterfactual, but you could certainly say that, you know, basically the wars have been financed through debt.
Through our debt, essentially. It's like taking out a mortgage on a house, except for a whole lot more money, and we're talking about financing military action.
Yeah, and again, you know, if you decide those were wars worth fighting, you know, we got a lot of debt for World War II. But, you know, on the other hand, if the war is not a terribly good idea, then we accumulate a lot of debt for not any good purpose.
I thought that some people look at war as an economic generator. I mean, you talked about debt after World War II, but we came out of that into the 1950s in a kind of economic golden age in this country.
Well, there's this sort of perverse situation where if you're in a downturn, as we are today and as we were in the Great Depression at the start of World War II, where any economic activity, any action actually boosts the economy. So the classic line, we could pay people to dig holes and fill them up again. So in that context, you know, if you spend money on, you know, on a war, that's like paying people, from an economic standpoint, at least it's like paying people to dig holes and fill them up again. We're not typically in that situation, but arguably, you know, we're in that situation today. We certainly were in that situation in World War II. So, you know, my takeaway looking at the Depression, looking at World War II, is that that got us out of the Great Depression. Not that we needed a war to do it. We could have paid people to, you know, build our highway system, which we did in the 50s, of course, you know, and build up our school system, our education system. We needed to spend money. It didn't have to be on war. It turned out, for political reasons, that was, you know, what suddenly took away all the restraints. And we had massive budget deficits. I mean, our budget deficits in the World War II era were on the order of about $6 or $7 trillion a year relative to the size of the economy, relative, you know, what it would be today. So it was a political issue. It removed the constraints on spending. So in a context where you have a badly depressed economy, a war can be a boost to the economy. But, you know, you still have to ask, you know, that's not in general the best way to do it if simply the point is to boost the economy. If you think of wars worth fighting, then you want to, then you do that. But, you know, if we're simply looking for a way to boost the economy, we'd be better off rebuilding our highways, building up our education system.
Dean Baker, thanks for checking in with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Dean Baker is an economist and founder of the Center for Economic and Policy Research.